Thanks for your patience. Calling the meeting to order of Monday, August 4th, for the Library Joint Powers Authority Board. Can I get a roll call?
Supervisor Friend?
Here.
Supervisor McPherson?
Here.
Councilmember Matthews?
Here.
Councilmember Reed?
Here.
Councilmember Termini?
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas?
Here.
Citizen Campbell? Citizen Dexter?
Here.
Citizen Mosher?
Thank you. We have a quorum. And the first item on the agenda, or second now, is the approval of the agenda for August 4th. Any changes?
So I'll move as proposed. Second.
Okay, motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Citizenmember Dexter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Next item is oral communications. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to an item that is not on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. And to item number four, we heard during closed session some guidance from legal counsel. No action was taken. And now I'd like to turn it over for the presentation to Lynn.
Hey everybody, I'm Lynn Santagaro. I'm the IT manager for the Library Department.
I'm Anya, I do web development and database management.
And we're here to show you something really cool called Library Box. Library Box is a way to digitally share information anywhere that doesn't have internet access. So we're able to load this device with any kind of free digital information that is of the public commons. So for instance, we've got a lot of the stuff we have on here tonight from Project Gutenberg, but we can load it with anything that we own, that the library owns. It's $150, it's open source, and basically what it does is it broadcasts its very own Wi-Fi signal. So that if you have any kind of Wi-Fi enabled device, be it a tablet, a phone, an e-book reader, you can connect to this library box. And actually, it acts as a file server and a web server. And it serves up all kinds of digital content, making it possible to have a library anywhere. They can also come solar powered, so that you don't even need to have a power source. So what we're going to show you tonight is a little bit of some of the things you can do.
Yeah, we put a few things on here just as examples for you. I've been wanting to read the complete Aristotle for a while.
Just haven't gotten around to it.
Haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the items we've got on here.
There it is. So when you download the free content from a library box, it's yours to own. So all of our local history, our local music databases, any kind of free information that we have that we own, we can put on the library box and broadcast anywhere. So if you have a library box and this battery powered, you are pretty much a walking library and you can get people to connect to it and download digital content to anyone, anywhere.
And not only can you download things, but you can also stream things. So you can stream audio or you can stream video. Let's see here. I like The Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, we're fond of that and lit.
That's pretty cool.
Actually, you can connect to this right here and now with your own phones or iPads should you want to, and you could continue the presentation of The Night of Living Dead.
Yeah.
Well, how does one access, because right now I'm connected to your library box.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How does one view the information
so this brings up a good point. This acts as a captive portal, and basically it means that even if you have internet via a 3G or 4G cell access, or internet like we have here, which is Santa Cruz staff, or the Wi-Fi public, when you log into, when you connect to a library box Wi-Fi, you can only go to library box.
Right.
Which makes it really convenient for teachers and people who want to kind of limit the content that the students are using within the classroom.
I understand that, but do you need a Library Box app in order to see that?
No. All you need to do is open your browser.
Open your browser. Right.
And because it's a captive portal, it'll automatically take you.
It should redirect you then to the homepage
of the Library Box. Let's show them some of the other uses we've dreamed up.
So now I'm back at the homepage again.
So you can also download software too. Yeah. So like we have some free like OpenOffice software, which is freeware like a Word or Excel. so that if people needed software and they couldn't get it anywhere else, they could actually get that on their devices.
Imagine you're doing a project with a group of people and you want to make sure, with maybe the kids, you want to make sure that all the kids are using the same software to do their project. You could just have them go here first, download the software to their device, and then continue on from there.
So one of the things we thought of was our bookmobiles that are driving all around the county.
Right.
We could put a library box in each bookmobile and be streaming any kind of content that we own. So we can stream audio, we can stream video, people can download ebooks while the bookmobile is parked. They just need to walk near the bookmobile. This thing has an average range of a typical Wi-Fi access point. So as long as you're within range and you can connect to it, you can use it.
I was even thinking we could take tax forms from the IRS, which people are always needing during that season, put them on here, take them out to places where, you know, they don't have access to them, or because now it's pretty much you're having to download them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they can just download them directly from our library box rather than having to go to a place that doesn't have access.
And so, as we mentioned, you can do targeted curriculum, and Ann will show you a little bit of what we put on there.
Put together just a real quick use case here for targeted curriculum. So imagine you're doing a project about whales. So the teacher can put together a lesson plan and bring in all sorts of material. So what I did here was I downloaded a couple of articles from our subscription databases, put those on here, one from National Geographic and one from Access Science. I got a few whale sounds that the kids could listen to. I put some photos on there because they look at different types of whales. And then I thought it would be a great thing once kids have done their project, they can also, I set up FTP on this box. So from your laptop or your phone or your iPad, you can get your project done and then click a button and upload your project and share it with everybody else in the room.
And the other really cool thing about it is this chat feature, so that if you are a teacher and you want to engage the students in the lesson, there's actually a chat feature, and we were playing around with it today.
Uh-huh.
You can tell first we couldn't get it to work. It says, what's wrong? But you can chat and, you know, have a conversation with the kids or whoever's connecting to the library box. Another potential use is a pop-up library. For instance, we thought this would be really great at a Boys and Girls Club. So we can put books on there. We can put curriculum on there. We can put fun things to do. You can also do geocaching on it. And... you know, it's just free content. Yeah, David.
I have a question. Is the idea then that this will be something the library will use and take place, or will you check it out to teachers?
Well, we're working with programming to determine how they want to use that, and Janice and I have been talking a lot about it. But I do envision maybe, you know, someone calling up and saying, hey,
I have a
California Missions. I have a fourth grade class. Can you fill that with California Missions material?
Right.
And then they check it out. And then that kind of lends itself to also maybe checking out laptops if they don't have the resources they need to access it.
Kind of along those same lines. So when we provide these library boxes to the classrooms, can we download the materials remotely so that, let's say, a classroom's doing a project that we can send it out to
We have to have it in the library here and have reference staff put on whatever the relevant material is.
Or work with the teacher.
Exactly. And then send out the library box and whatever accompanying laptops or, you know, we do homework in the classroom and things like that. So
like your example of going out with a bookmobile, would you preload books? Like if people wanted in order, they don't have, you know, access maybe to a library or a classroom, you could actually load certain books.
Yeah, as long as it's within what we call Creative Commons, which is an open domain public access book. So
or if it's content we own and created, then obviously we can put that on.
So we have to see how we can work with our content providers to make sure that we're living within our service level agreement and everything like that. But so far, it looks like a lot of EBSCO database stuff we can put on there and things of that nature.
That is really cool. Every week, I think Councilmember Matthew said this last year, every week there's been this really neat project that you brought up.
Thank you.
It's really interesting technology.
We also see a possibility for emergencies. You know, if the city or county had an emergency and there were no internet or phone, you know, you can load library boxes preloaded with all the information, for instance, an emergency call center might need.
So we could actually,
to be able to operate.
Yeah, there is a little web server running on this little box. So we could install, you know, the software that's needed to run the community and predict information database. I could even install the actual database software on here and then have this box running. You've got a small
That way, when there's no, you know, internet access, and it's going to not be around for a while, you can still serve up all of the information that emergency responders need to be able to effectively monitor.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah. I'm just kind of generally boggled by all true confessions, but is this something you envision teachers or businesses or whatever having their own little box and loading it up?
Yeah, buy bought one.
You could buy one, put a solar power on it or a battery on it, and walk around and just serve digital content wherever you go.
Opportunities for the third world are just.
But it's also like a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah. No, because it doesn't give you access to the internet.
It's only the content that's on
it. On the box. Okay. Yeah, it's a captive portal, meaning when it gets you, it has you, and you can't go out on the internet.
But like a ranger could have
absolutely
interpretive stuff.
Yeah, they could have, exactly. I mean,
it maps downtown.
I mean, when you start thinking about it, you know, your brain kind of wants to blow off out of your head because there's so many good things.
You could even use it sort of like with art displays or museum type things where you've got additional information that's on the library box, so you've got your display up and people can connect to your library box and get more information about the author or the artist.
Right.
Or
our colleague Steve Watkins, who's the library IT person for CSUMB, turned me on to this, and he took it to Ghana, and he's got it solar powered. He took a bunch to Ghana and a bunch of iPads and laptops that are solar powered to Ghana, and he's actually putting in libraries where none exist to give the boys and girls in Ghana a chance to have their lessons and learn what they need to learn. So,
is the product called Library Box?
Mm-hmm. It's called Library Box. It's open source, and it was a Kickstarter project that started about a year ago. So we can basically put this anywhere. You put it in the bus station. You can put it in an old folks' home and give the people there readers and give them something to read. You can check them out. Yes, Cynthia.
Okay, so let's just say I'm going to go home tonight and say, library board meeting, we heard this great presentation on a new resource, Library Box.
Yeah.
Here's the link. What would I send them to?
Librarybox.us.
But that wouldn't connect to us.
Right.
No, we're just
beta testing it.
So it's a little premature.
We just wanted to get your minds going and get you engaged in the project. So as we move forward, you guys would know what our intentions were. So.
But you will at some point have enough of a there to have a launch.
Yeah, we'll work with programming and we'll figure out how exactly we want to use it, and we'll launch it officially.
What's the range of something like this?
Oh, I would say you probably in this room comfortably and maybe out in the hallway a little bit. Just a kind of a weak Wi-Fi hotspot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just for its own content.
Yes, for its
really
own content.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah. How many people could be hooked up to it?
Oh, as many people as possible.
But it doesn't have a degradation like
Well, it will after a while. I would imagine somewhere around 60 it'll start to degrade, but that's a lot of people. Yeah. And, you know, we've been using it and having fun with it and playing with it. And
I downloaded some pretty big. Well, you saw how quick it was to download the complete work there.
Yeah.
I know he's not here.
Which now I've got.
And you said it was only $135?
$150.
Wow.
Yep. And actually,
we could actually build our own.
We could build our own. Yeah. We could, and a lot of people are taking the little box and using their 3D printers. They actually have 3D printer schematics on the website now. We could actually print your own box and have it branded with your own stuff. And branded this for us with our colors and our logo and all that.
Very cool.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. And so we'll take all of these items in one motion.
Just give you a correction.
Right ahead.
Page 11 on the July, well, page 11. Somehow, you got to love spell check. 11A, except the family's master plan instead of facilities master plan.
All right.
So it's the second time that's happened. We're going to watch our spell check.
So on the consent agenda, General, we'll take all these and we'll approve these in one motion. But before we do that, is there any member of the board that would like to speak to any item that's on consent agenda and pull it? Any member of the public that would like to speak to any item that's on the agenda or have it pulled? Seeing none, we'll bring it back for a motion.
I'll second as amended.
Okay. Motion by
It was amended by the director.
Sorry.
Motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Supervisor Friend. All those in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimously. And also, I wanted just to point out that the Leet Corduroy Trust monies, when that was first donated, it was about 3 years ago, and we learned about it because there was an article in the paper. He moved to Louisiana. I think he was a former owner of the Wayne's Beauty College. And it was nice to have that, and I just wanted to call it up to see that these monies that he left for the library is going to good use.
Okay, you've got the staff recognition report.
Here's actually a copy. I don't know if you passed this out to everybody.
No, I didn't. I just gave it to him. With the original version. You can add it to the packet if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great. They donated the fund. Okay, staff recognition.
And none of the staff who have been recognized are here, but we will.
And everybody has a copy of
it? Yeah, we. It got missed in the packet, so we added it later.
Okay, the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries report.
Okay. In July 2014, the Friends submitted a letter of intent to the grantors at the Community Foundation for the Community Poetry Circle. We are the featured nonprofit, Nichols for Nonprofits at Whole Foods in Capitola and Santa Cruz until August 30th. The proud sponsor of the summer reading program Pause to Read and gave over $10,000. The Friends' plans include hosting a book sale at the Aptos Library on August the 23rd from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and creating a literary circle of major donors that support the library. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
Any questions? Any other? Thank you very much. Okay, now the next item on the agenda is member reports. Any member reports? Have you guys had a
Submission? No,
okay. Facilities we have on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving to other business.
We had the facilities master plan study session last week. There were several ideas for motions that you brought up that we were just not taking action last week, so I brought them forward this week. And then if there's anything else based on what you learned or any other questions you have, anything you want me to work on, I'm glad to receive direction. So there were specific motions were on page 44, the structural analysis of downtown, the hazardous materials assessment of downtown, developing a tentative plan for relocation of the downtown library so we get an idea of what that might cost. Bring options back on developing common design standards and encouraging each jurisdiction to be shovel ready using any funding that those jurisdictions might have, including trust funds such as you allocated tonight for the Leet Corduroy money. So those are the four motions that I heard coming out of the last meeting. And of course there may be others that you didn't express.
Discussion first. Supervisor.
Yeah, I know that we had some people that wanted to enter the discussion and we wanted this library base to look at the whole system, but I think it's important that we have that Joe Apparat, that was one mm-hmm. that I wanted to have added. I think it's important that it's a similar building, similar time frame, and so forth. And
that's
that
in that first part of that first motion to engage experienced community members is appropriate.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know Supervisor McPherson, but David Tanzer was the owner's representative on the Cruzio building. So he was Mr. Appenroth's representative on the Cruzio building. He actually did the construction estimating for our facilities master plan.
Okay.
So I don't know if Mr. Appenroth will just refer me back to Mr. Tanzer, who actually emailed me the other day. But
The language general.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
And didn't Mr. Tanza, he oversaw the work of the Scotts Valley?
Yes,
also.
He did.
Yes, he was a CM on the whole project, and we came in on time and under budget. He did a great job.
Supervisor.
I have a point of clarification on motion number or item number four, if that's possible, from the library director. Regarding what each jurisdiction does, I recognize that four is partially contingent upon number three in the sense of having a commonality of design standards.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean, as the point that I brought up last week regarding the Friends of La Selva Beach or other organizations like in Felton, that they would just simply work with the county, because it's within our jurisdiction, to go ahead and fund said advanced planning. If they wanted to allocate the funding, is that the clarity that that item four provides or not?
What this says is that any advanced planning before the money is allocated in the bond, if any jurisdiction wants to get started, then they need to come up with their own funds to do it, and it's not going to get paid back out of the bond later. And then how you deal with the design standards, I mean, there's some preliminary work that doesn't involve any design, and that's what I would recommend happening. We don't get into design until we agree on some standards.
I didn't know that my question was actually answered. So if the county partners then with an outside organization like the Friends Group, that would be considered acceptable? I recognize that to me it strikes me that you just don't want the library to be obligated to any kind of specific funding. I'm trying to find a way that an outside organization that wants to fund an architectural look at something can do it, right? I assume if we have the design standards, then that provides the guideline. So would it then be the county's responsibility if it's a county, a library in the unincorporated area, to work with that organization or not? I guess that's the direction of it, of my question.
I think it's very important that we have the common standards discussion before we have anyone going loose on specific design issues.
Then I'm a little confused what the point of number four is, right? So if we have number three completed, where we have the standards, then I can't have something designed, I can't have something shovel ready unless I actually go through a pretty extensive process.
Yeah,
right?
But my point being, it doesn't seem to make sense to start getting into a design process next month, but we'll get the design standards done sooner rather than later, and yes, then move forward with the architectural planning based on those, and consistent with contract arrangements for public entities. The Friends don't have the freedom to just go out and hire their own architect. I mean, it's going to be a county project.
But if the county elects to have the Friends do it for a certain branch, that's what I'm asking for in the clarity of this item.
There's some advanced planning that doesn't involve specific design issues. Feldman is a good example of that. Feldman's been doing a lot of the entitlement work related to site selection and the property transfer and all that. And while they have a conceptual design, they needed that in order to do the site work, but they haven't really gotten into the true design phase yet. The downtown library needs to start doing some community meetings to talk to the community about what they want and what they need. That's not design yet. That's just some of the preliminary advanced work that needs to get done. That's what we're kind of encouraging at this point. Certainly don't want any of the projects to happen before we have the vote. I mean, everybody needs to allocate the money first. So I think that there is a certain amount if the county wants to get started on a certain project, I think that they can, but I think they need to be careful that we're not getting into the things that might get undone once design standards themselves are established.
Okay, I'll just accept the fact that my question won't be answered right now, and I'll try and get this question answered at a later time, because I didn't think I was asking a very difficult question, but it's still not being answered. We need the design standards, that's number three, that makes sense, before number four really functionally can even take place. You may have private entities, right, that are interested in funding elements of design. I'm asking who's going to be responsible then for that. I mean, if it's the county that's ultimately the jurisdiction of body that we've determined two meetings back that's responsible for building them within our own jurisdiction, the unincorporated area, then wouldn't then the county then be able to work with any organization it wants using those design standards to fund the design and that stuff? Is that clarity being provided in number four? That's what my question is asking. I mean, I'll take an answer from another board member or from the library. Normally, it should come from the library director, but if it's another director, that's fine.
I thought we had that discussion, that there would be other groups who were doing it. So my understanding is, yes, that's included in the language. But four or three was talking that you said kind of brings forth that fourth question, was more dealing with like efficiency, so that each independent libraries and kind of buying their own things. We
no,
have,
they're different.
Well, what you, I thought when you brought up three in regards to coordinating costs, so that one, when people are purchasing equipment and things, that we're not looking at each individual jurisdiction, we try to have some cost efficiencies on how those are managed. That's what I understood.
Three actually incorporates two ideas. One is the common design standards, and that's like the marketplace or the children's areas, for example. I'm just pulling two out of my head.
Right.
And the other has to do with coordinated purchasing. To my mind, those are two different things. They're both ways. One is a way of achieving the kind of 21st century library look that we all say we want, and not just repainting what we have and calling it rehab. So, and the other does have to do with some efficiencies in purchasing. As to the question that Zach raised, I think there's a lot of potential actually for engaging either private groups or individual donors who may want to, I mean, who knows, help fund a children's area in a library. And we haven't even talked about essentially betterments from a capital campaign type thing. And I think that's something we probably should flesh out a little bit more in the sequencing. But the lead entity for the project is going to be the county and the county and the cities for their areas, and to the extent that they cooperate with a friends group or a civic group or private donor, then they're still the lead entity, and they're engaging the architects, and they're working with our common design standards. That's how I would see approaching it. So does that,
yeah,
that
the answer? The answer is the jurisdiction is responsible for and can reach out to whoever they want to help get this funding that's before the election happens. What we're saying is that they don't move into a phase where they're actually doing design that might be subject to the design standards before those standards are developed.
And what's the timeline on the design standards?
I intend to bring something back to the subcommittee if it meets in the 18th, as they're scheduled to meet. I plan to have a proposal to that
couple
group
of
that
options
point,
of
a couple
levels.
Of options of directions we can go in, and then for a final decision by the board at the September meeting, and then it'll take a couple of months to do it, to get those developed. Depending which option you go with, it'll take more or less time depending on how detailed they get. So it's a few months away. Now that you know, so a facility that's just looking at design, probably it is premature to go out and start working on it. But facilities like Felton or Aptos
or
Capitola or downtown, the big projects, there's a lot more groundwork to be done than design. And so they can get started, and they have gotten started. Capitola started, Felton started, downtown wants to get started. None of those entities should get into design aspects until the standards are developed.
Councilmember Termini? I can state something that may answer your question. And that is, number four is relatively premature, and I think the use of shovel-ready is misused here. We are all, including Felton, that purports to be shovel-ready is about a year away from being shovel-ready. There's a lot of work to be done, and it's a gamble to put any money into the development of any design, even after design standards, until the bond passes. Now, this raises another question for me, and that is, yes, Capitola is doing work. Capitola is funding that work.
Mm-hmm.
I question one and two, and if we are truly to distribute the money from the bond so that each jurisdiction can take its own path, I question doing any work unless it's to possibly reapportion money because of these expenses. I don't know that this body is ready to take on any sort of plan for structural or otherwise on Maine or pay for it until the bond passes, and then I would think that the city going forward with the project would embark on it.
Go ahead,
can I speak to that one in
please,
particular?
Please.
my thought was that the structural and asbestos remediation were really an extension of the facilities master plan base conditions.
Okay.
And they're, as I understand from Teresa, not terribly expensive. What they indicate needs to be done will be expensive, and that will become part of the central branch cost. But I think we don't even really know, because those are two big items. We don't really have a full picture of what the approximate budget for the central or the downtown branch remodel will be until we get that structural and the remediation costs.
I understand that. That's a valid point. I know these are relatively inexpensive, and I would be in favor of them. I think that, and I'll use Capitola as an example, if the bond passes, we're given a portion of the bond to build a new library, and we find some, you know, remarkable thing with the ground that we're going to build on, we're still in charge of building the library. So I think each municipality has to embrace the idea that any sort of construction anomalies that take place, they have to deal with at the time and still perform according to the benchmark that we put forward for each municipality, including the county, Scotts Valley, Capitola, Felton.
What I heard Group 4 say last week was that in terms of, and my conversations with them, that in terms of the downtown library, they did a certain amount of structural analysis when they did the plan, mm-hmm. but to really make sure that this building really can be gutted and redone, we need a more detailed structural analysis and than what was done. I'm supposed to be getting a proposal sometime this week.
I don't want to pick on Maine, so, because I think per square foot, Maine has less per square foot allocated to it than any other. Although the size of Maine would make you think that there's, you know, economy of scale. I'm worried that this could throw into question, you know, how the first blush at the apportionment was done. And if there are serious structural problems with Maine, or then maybe we need to build a different Maine, or a different kind of Maine, or a different size Maine, or something has to keep it relatively within that realm. You could spend $63 million where we're sitting right now easily.
Well, I think that's why those studies have to be completed, so we know what is the animal we're shooting for there.
Like I said, I am in favor, because I do understand, and I do understand it's money well spent, and it's not a great deal of money. Number four doesn't belong there, I believe, at this time, because anything any municipality or the county does with regard to number four is a gamble until June. And it can be an expensive gamble.
Any further discussion? Board Member Dexter?
But if we, on four, we're only saying that jurisdictions can do, can, you know, we're encouraging, but we're not asking that they have to. You know, so there wouldn't be any reason why they couldn't, you know, go ahead and I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't go ahead and move this today.
And I think...
We're not locking them in.
In addition to the pre-planning and the permitting issues that are up in Felton, it could be putting out the RFQ for the architects, mm-hmm. having the preliminary choice of an architect, mm-hmm. doing the community meetings. That's kind of on the local jurisdiction's dime. So that when the measure passes, you've got the architect selected, you've got a basic concept.
You don't have to start from ground zero.
Yeah.
At the end of the discussion, it's going to come down to the dimes.
Yeah.
And anything more than a, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 study somewhere at some point in time has to be embraced by Capitola or the county or the city as their money. And we've put in excess of $30,000 so far just for the library needs assessment. The architectural renderings and things. Capitola's rolled the dice on this one.
Right. And I think the expectation with the item that we voted on the Corday Trust was that would formally make those funds available to the city to start doing this pre-planning.
Yes.
And just accept that that's
spending.
Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to any member of the public that'd like to speak to this. Seeing none, we'll come back for action.
Well, go down the line. Well, I'm going to start with number one, that we, and I'm not going to say authorize the expenditure of funds because we don't have a dollar amount yet.
Right.
But that we ask the director to come back at our, hopefully to the facilities subcommittee with figures in time that we can present information at our next Library Joint Powers Board so that we can at that time allocate funds for the additional structural analysis for downtown as described here and to conduct a necessary hazmat assessment for downtown.
I can bring proposals.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
We'll just do these in order then. Okay, motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Board Member Dexter. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Okay. Continuing on.
Next one, that we direct the library director to develop a tentative plan for temporary relocation of the downtown library, including moving costs, et cetera, as described here.
Okay, that's a motion by Councilmember Matthews. I'll second that. Second by myself. All those in favor?
Aye. Discussion.
Aye. Any discussion? I'll pass these unanimously.
The third is that we direct the library director to bring back options to our next Joint Powers Board for developing common design standards to be used for all projects, as well as opportunities for cooperative or coordinated purchasing.
Okay, motion by Councilmember Matthews.
I'll second.
Under discussion.
Okay, second by Board Member Dexter.
And this may be a totally separate item, but I think not only design standards, but since we've already moved past the concept of each municipality getting their portion of money, it seems like benchmarks or expectations are very important in that. As an example, we would expect Felton to build a 9,000 foot library. It should have this, 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 and this in it included. So I suppose rough needs assessment, just something that each jurisdiction can look at and look at their money and go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do for that. Good, I agree. I'll sign the dotted line, here's my check. I think that's very important, that Aptos will have this when it's finished. Capitola will have this when it's finished.
Plan. To me, that's different than the common design standard.
Well, there is no plan. That's the point. There's a facilities master plan that gives a very general outlook.
Yes.
And if we want to make that the benchmark, it needs to be cleaned up considerably.
Right. Yes.
Something very simple that can say, Scotts Valley, you're getting $1 million, and when you're done, your sound situation should be attenuated, and certain other items should be available to your patrons, period. Not you should have a 12-foot panel here, and it should be painted green. And you follow what I'm saying? There, I think that's part and parcel to this item on here. That's not just design standards, it's the deliverables.
I see it as a separate item, but compatible.
Okay. I think deliverables is a better term for it.
Yeah, and I think that is intended to be part of, there's going to be the JPA agreement, and there's going to be the CFD formation, and then there's going to need to be an MOU of some sort between the jurisdictions agreeing on what they're going to do with the money when they get it. That's the way I view what you're talking about, Mike.
That's got to come from the CFD.
Fine.
Because
fine.
One of the challenges we're going to have is, especially because this is a partial tax, not a bond, we're going to have some very tight language that goes on the ballot that says what these funds can and can't be used for.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't going to be able to pick holes and say you're going to use it for administrator salaries or whatever else. There's going to have to be a really ironclad definition of how the funds can be used.
And we want the people in each geographic area to know what they're going to have
right.
close by, or what their, it doesn't have to be close by, their favorite library. If I live in Capitola and I always go to Aptos, what are you going to do for Aptos to make it better? Oh, we're going to do that. Okay, I like that. So maybe it is part of the CFD, but I just, you know, when I start to see design standards, we're marching towards my expertise.
Yeah, there is every intention to have that kind of an agreement. Great. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Thank you.
Just as a consideration for a friendly amendment, would you be willing to put specific dates on this so that we can?
Sure.
I know that the library director had said that she would come to your group as a subcommittee in August and here in September. I think the sooner the better, so I just want to make sure that time,
I couldn't agree more.
That timeline is in the
movement. Yeah. Costing it now, I may have it by next
And I think group four anticipates that they're going to be.
But the standards themselves, you said.
Not the standards themselves.
Right.
The proposal and then actually getting
right.
the standards themselves done. It's going to depend on which option is selected.
The standards themselves would not be at the next meeting.
No. Oh, gosh.
The options, because in a preliminary discussion, did we get it here? I think not, but they can do, we're calling them design standards and kind of programmatic standards, too, at a couple of different levels. Here's what you'd get for $20,000, here's what you get
right.
for $30,000.
So we'll get the options.
We'll get a couple of options.
By September.
By
yes.
September.
And then
yes.
that's when we would authorize the fund.
Right, and then you said a couple, so by November meeting?
It depends which option we take. According to the architect, they can take 3 to 4 months. Some of them he does not recommend doing until you actually
right.
have the money.
Yeah.
So it might have to be phased, but there may be enough in order, whatever's needed to
uh-huh.
get people going on projects or something.
Uh-huh.
We'll
I think,
finesse that
you
somehow.
Know, we to some extent are going to defer to their experience,
right.
but we want to do
right.
the things that should be done system-wide, we want to do them early.
Right. I would say a goal of having them established by as much as possible by the end of December.
Okay.
Do you think, as part of Zach's request, that there could be some sort of at least schedule that you say by these
yeah.
dates these tasks would be accomplished?
And I don't, yeah.
Once you choose the option, yes. So, I mean, so at the
no, it's part of the motion here to.
I can't establish that schedule until I know which design standard option you're going to pick.
But I think what we can say is when you communicate with Group 4, let them know that we want to have a pretty aggressive schedule once we select the option for getting that information back.
Well, it seems like they even, this was actually one of their suggestions.
Yes.
So they must have a pretty good idea of the kinds of things that we could do before we get our funding. I mean, they because
yeah,
they recommended this.
Yeah, it's just that I can't
right.
say that I can, I mean,
right.
I can try to put in the proposal
right.
what each,
right.
what time, what amount of time each of the options would take.
So we'll just
yeah.
say for the purposes of motion that this information we hope to have for the upcoming Facilities Master Plan Subcommittee so that it can be brought for action at our next Joint Powers Board, including a schedule for carrying out the work selected. Does that sound okay to you, Zach?
Yeah. I would get rid of the word hope, but yes. I mean, so that actually it has a timeline, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, and I appreciate
yeah.
the expediency in that.
Yeah. Is that okay with you, Mike?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Motion. Any further discussion? Motion by Councilmember Matthews, and the second was by Board Member Dexter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That passes unanimously. Okay, next up. Item for discussion. Did you have a comment?
No, I have number four.
Okay.
Well, number four is spelled out, encouraging the jurisdictions to do each jurisdiction to do what it can to make each project shovel ready. And there was some discussion that that's maybe a premature term. So I'm not wedded to that one.
Pre-planning sounds great, and perhaps we could get a better definition, because right now, are we saying that there are trust funds available for any jurisdiction to draw upon? Just say.
Felton, downtown, the Silver Beach has some. Patrick Scott's Valley has some.
We should make that very clear in the motion that the various branches may draw on their own individual trust funds to do any of these, or seek the general fund monies of their jurisdiction.
Without anticipation of reimbursement.
Correct. Without anticipation of
right.
reimbursement. Right.
Right.
run this up the flagpole. Motion to encourage each jurisdiction to do what it can for pre-planning its projects, recognizing it is the responsibility of each jurisdiction to fund this advanced planning on their own through available trust funds, general plan funds, or other
sources.
Yeah, other donations. Yeah, other sources. Does that sound okay?
Without anticipation of reimbursement.
Without anticipation of reimbursement.
Their general fund, not their general plan fund.
Yeah, general. Did I say general plan?
Yeah, because I don't understand how that, yeah. How that phrase can get stuck in your head.
And the other thing just to mention on that, I mean, that's the text of it, but actually, library trust funds are held variously by the city, by the Friends, and by the community foundation that I know of.
Right.
The available trust funds for this purpose are all held by the city.
Okay.
None of these are held.
Yeah, Belton's is
held by the city.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's the Wayland Trust, which you've appropriated on several occasions to this fund. There's only some of them that allow us to use them for buildings and facilities.
So it's through trust funds, jurisdictional general funds, or other sources without expectation of reimbursement.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Councilmember Termini. I had a comment that you were bringing up, Mike, that if, let's say, someone finds out that there's a lot of additional expense that needs to happen for, let's say, one of the branches. I mean, how do we apportion the funds? I mean, are we just granted to each jurisdiction like what we budgeted? So we're not looking at if someone goes over or they have additional expenses. It's just based on those jurisdictions, right? So the cities that have been allotted a certain amount of funds, the county that's been allotted a certain amount of funds, those they have that as their available facilities planning funds to do their work. Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. I would hope that those numbers, and not branch by branch, I think that's an error in the way the direction we took when we started to look at the $63 million, dividing it. It's a good start, but I think that since we've already decided to let the jurisdictions do their own construction, it should be allotted by City of Santa Cruz, City of Scotts Valley, City of Capitola, County of Santa Cruz, period. And that how they distribute those funds branch to branch and they still be the deliverables is their responsibility. And I would not want to relinquish that apportionment to the other JPA that is being formed. Uh-huh. I think it should come out of this board, a decision made and passed down.
How does that work? So the Community Facilities District puts on the ballot, let's say, referring to county, we're going to do this in Aptos, this in Felton, this in the other county branches. But the money all goes to the county to do as they want. Now let's say at some point the county decides, you know what, Aptos is more important than Felton or vice versa, and we're going to change the money allocation so that we're not going to do all of what we said we were going to do in the bond because we think this need has changed and this is more important. Do they have the ability to do that, or aren't the hands of each jurisdiction largely going to be tied by whatever the language is for the voters?
To a certain degree, that's part of the MOU that will have the deliverables. Now, there are ways to do just the minimum deliverables and shift money around.
So there will be a minimum
and
list and a maximum list.
You might be able to get the minimum but at less money.
That's why I think these economies are important.
Completely agree.
But I just wanted to mention that, you know, first of all, we have to get it down to dollars and cents by municipality, not by branch. And it has to be, you know, agendized and voted on by this board so that we have something that we feel good about and we can all walk away with and speak to our constituencies.
And really, I think just because it's a public parcel tax measure does not eliminate the possibility of some kind of charitable support. Like Rotary played a big role in yours.
Right.
And, you know, maybe somewhere else, the Aptos Rotary wants to have have a patio or whatever, and, you know, so I do think there's potential there, in which case you'd be getting more than the minimum planned. But
we hope people will get excited about this and want to see it happen.
In fact, I can actually see, I guess it'll come with the jurisdictions, but as we get into it next year, I can see the value of some discussion with a consultant on basically capital donation, giving opportunities, naming opportunities.
Councilmember Turner.
And lastly, I'm the eternal optimist. We also need some discussion at some point on excess funds. We know what the municipalities cannot spend things on, which are things not, you know, as part of the deliverables. You know, they're certainly not going to build a new city hall with some excess money. So any excesses due to savings, due to careful construction planning, needs to come back to the group because there may be branches that need more. Central being one of them, which, I mean, we have to think of this as an organism and as a whole rather than just our own little municipality. So we want to deliver a library system at the end of this.
Well, but if there's a little bit left over, I mean, the unfortunate thing, what we saw in the facilities master plan is we've got, what, $17 million over 10 years just in maintenance that's coming in the buildings that we have today. If in one of our jurisdictions we have a little bit left in the kitty, that could get taken up in a new roof in 10 years or something.
Certainly. But I think that we need to band together because there are opportunities here.
Is that part of this motion?
No, that was just me running.
This is general discussion.
You should be used to it by now.
Do you want me to do anything with this from now or just hold this information for when?
When the time comes, we want to be seeing it.
Discussion of the subcommittee?
I personally agree with what Mike had to say about having these constraints that we know that the funds are going to be allocated in the county to a certain level to the cities broken down by the branch improvements, so that when we start looking at the improvements, I mean, the county may decide to invest more in one of their branches than as they go through this process, or they find that they need to invest less in one location if they want to increase maybe some type of facility improvement in another. This at least gives us an opportunity, so we're not looking at, you know, going over to different branches and trying to kind of pencil out how it'll work. It makes it a little cleaner by each jurisdiction.
Do you want me to start trying to work on some of the basic
deliverables?
Deliverables.
And then, yes. Okay. And when we present, it's certainly okay to have, you know, subtotals as far as branch, but it would be nice to be able to see in a report how much money each entity has to deal with in a lump sum. That will start to, you know, form in our minds, you know, what. It's easy for Scotts Valley, it's easy for Capitola, but the county and the city, having multiple branches involved, needs to see what the aggregate is.
Well, and just to continue, to my mind, that's the importance of doing the structural event.
That's why I voted for it. Yes.
I mean, we got to know what those numbers are.
Yes.
Before we go too much further.
Okay. So any further discussion?
So is this all part of number four?
I think
they're two different things. So if we could vote on number four, then the next one would be to direct the library director to start defining a package of deliverables for the. Does that sound like a separate item?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's vote on four. We have a motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Councilmember Turney. And that's for item four. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passed unanimously. And then the second motion, if you want to.
The fifth one? Would you like? It's your thought. Would you like to put it into a verse?
Oh, no, you do so well. And I think that you should bring the, as a suggestion, not just the library director, but the library director with assistance from our facilities subcommittee.
Yeah.
Help bring them.
Okay. Well, we instruct the library director to work with the facilities master plan subcommittee to start refining a package of minimum deliverables for each branch and the jurisdictions that
Second.
Okay, any further discussion?
Should we say in that that it's that what the ultimate intent is to be the groundwork for a MOU or?
I think we don't.
That's the purpose.
Okay, that's
the same. We'll be back to that later. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Councilmember Termini. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay, we got through that. And now.
Anything else that came up from that meeting that you want me to be working on? Because I have nothing to do with it.
And one more?
I'll just say, I think we're making really important sequential progress. Yes.
Just want to make sure I'm not doing something you want done.
I agree.
I think so, too.
We're not sitting on our hands. Well,
the next item on
jumping off a cliff.
The next item on the agenda is written communications, and generally, unless there's any questions, those are just there for reference. Any questions regarding items A through F in written communications?
I'll just say I love the article on the Dutch Library.
I mean, that's what we're shooting for.
Just remarkable.
You make these beautiful spaces, and they just become completely different.
Yes, I did at Indy.
And particularly when we saw the stats, well, they're kind of leveling off. Mm-hmm. But I see when we make our remake our spaces, they will become entirely different hubs of community activity.
Yes,
just inspiring. Mm-hmm.
Great. So we'll move on to the board meeting calendar, and our next meeting is Monday, September 8th. 6:30 p.m. in Aptos. So, Aptos, leave early. And we'll see you in Aptos on Monday. Councilmember Termini, did you have a comment?
Just a comment on the library box.
Yeah.
In order to get it up on the browser, you have to actually direct the browser to librarybox.lan.
You could do that, yeah, but you could also.
It doesn't always.
Let's hold off on that. Okay, we're meeting Monday, September 8th next in Aptos, and the meeting's adjourned.